audition just at this morning. It wasn't me.
God has given me super speed, amen. So I thank God for his grace and his mercy, amen, that he still extends Superman powers, amen. So I'm excited, amen, about this morning, amen. This is the 14th day of August. God has blessed us to be here. He continues to keep us, to watch over us, to give us strength day to day, amen. And so I don't know about you, but I came to give God my best praise today. I come to magnify his name, to lift him up, to exalt him, and just begin to tell him thank you on today. So I want to welcome everyone that's watching on YouTube, on Facebook, all of our social media platforms. Listen, I need you all to continue to share, like, and comment. And I'm telling you, we are in for an awesome experience with the praise and worship, the word of God, and prayer. We just want to have an awesome time in the Lord. And I'm telling you, Mama Harper, she ready. She was getting her hands warmed up in the brief. Before we even got going, she was clapping, amen. So I'm grateful, amen, that the joy of the Lord is upon her heart this morning. I'm telling you, it's a blessing to be alive, amen. Tell somebody next to you, I'm glad I'm alive. And then tell somebody else, it's good to see you. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand on our feet. Amen. And let's just begin to offer up some prayer this morning. We thank God for our new keyboard player, Brother Marcus. Amen. He over here transitioning, amen. But God is good. I thank God for the gifts that he placed in the building that we can make adjustments where we have to. So come on, let's just begin to pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you on today, God. We praise you, Father God. We come to tell you thank you on today, Father God. Thank you for your love, for your grace, for your kindness on today, God. Thank you for your peace on today, God. Thank you for your joy on today, God. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come into this place to experience your presence, God. But Lord, you are what it's all about today, God. It's about lifting you up today, God. It's about magnifying your name, God. It's about exalting you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Father God. And Lord, we are just vessels today, God. And we're ready, God, to be servants, to be used of you on today, God. And we ask you to fill this place this morning, God. Fill this place with your power, God. Fill this place with your anointing, God. That Lord, yokes will be destroyed, burdens will be lifted on today, God, and that the power of your Holy Spirit, God, shall move freely in this place, God. We ask you to tear down, God, anything that will hinder, God, anything that will come in to, Lord, be a stumbling block to our praise on today, God. We ask you to remove it on today, God, that our mind is focused in on you on today, God, that we're thinking on you on today, God, that we come to praise you, God, we come to magnify you, God, we come together on one accord, Lord, to lift you up on today, God. That, Lord, you are worthy of the praise, God. You are worthy of the honor, God. And, Lord, we love you today, God. We honor you today, Father God. We adore you on today, Father God. But there is no God, that no other name under heaven, which men shall be saved, but by the name of Jesus Christ. And, God, we lift you up today, God. But you said that if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw men unto me on today, God. And we ask you to draw today, God. Draw in the souls on today, God. Draw in the lost on today, God. Draw in those that do not know you, Father God. That salvation shall be their portion on today, God. And that they will accept you today, God. They will receive you as their personal Lord and Savior, God. Lord, we call for newness today. We call for revival on today, God. That your Holy Spirit, God, will move across the earth on today, God. And that people, God, will come into the knowledge of you, God. That, Lord, people will come to fall in love with you on today, Father God. That they will make you Lord in their life on today, God. I call for blessings today, God. I call for miracles today, God. I call for breakthroughs on today, God. I call for your anointing, God, to come in and destroy yokes and remove burdens, God. Lord, stir up this atmosphere today, Father God. That, Lord, you will move by your power, God. You will move by your spirit on today, Father God. That deliverance will manifest, God. That healing will manifest, God. That transformation will manifest, God. That you're building us up in our faith on today, God. That, Lord, we will walk by faith and not by sight on today, God. And that we will understand that now faith, God, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, Father God. Let us walk in that anointing, God. Let us walk in that power to believe on today, God. But, Lord, you called us to believe in your name, God. To believe upon your word on today, God. Remove the doubt, God. Remove the unbelief, God. Remove every assignment of the enemy, God, that will try to hinder us, God, from moving forward in the life that you called us to live, God. But you said that you have come that we may have life and have it more abundantly, God. And I release it over our lives today, God. I release that grace over us on tonight, God, that we're moving in that abundant life. We're moving in that life of more than enough. We're moving in that life of overflow, God. And Lord, we love you, God. We praise you, God. We lift you up in this place, God. I dare you to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, glory to your name, Jesus, for he is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be magnified. He is worthy to be glorified. Come on and lift him up as the sound comes. Come on and bless his name. Come on and saturate this place with the power of praise, with the anointing of worship. Let the enemy hear your voice today, that you're walking in victory, that you're declaring that I have more than enough, that you're declaring I'm healed on today, I'm delivered on today. Whatever you stand in need of, I dare you to open up your mouth and put a praise on it, and put a glory, hallelujah, on it, put a
You're blessed when you go out. feel you're yet blessed. Despite of what the doctors say, I'm yet blessed. The fact I can lift my hands and praise, I'm blessed. I can dance if I want to because I'm blessed, Jesus. I got breath in my body this morning, so I'm so blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. I got a bunch of blessings, Jesus, I'm blessed. Sometimes you just gotta encourage yourself.
So glad we're blessed, Lord. We're glad that you say you are blessed children. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Because of that, Lord, we know we belong to you. Come on, I need y'all to come on in this morning.
I've abandoned everything I've ever known. I give myself to you.
Yeah.
My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you.
Can we say that again? My life
is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you.
I belong.
My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. It's okay just to thank him for a moment and just bask in his presence. My life is not my own. When you begin to meditate on it and think about that, that I'm not responsible for my life, that God has been taking care of me. God is watching over me. God's waking me up on a day-to-day basis. God's giving me strength in my body. God's giving me the activities of my limbs. And when I begin to think about the goodness of God and how he takes care of me, how he loved me first in spite of myself. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. Mighty are you, God. Thank you, Father. My life is not my own, and I give myself away. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a hand praise, for he is worthy to be praised. Amen. You all may be seated, amen. If you can, amen. I'll tell you, you all look amazing in this place today, amen. You look so good, amen. Give yourself a hand praise. Amen. You got to look in the mirror and you say, you know what? I do look good. I'm telling you, you got to encourage yourself. Amen. You may live by yourself. May not have nobody tell you, no, hey, that you look good today. You got to just look in that mirror and say, you know what? I look good today. Just tell us, I look good today. I'm fine. You know that? If then nobody else know, I know it. You better encourage yourself. That's not being vain. That's releasing confidence in my life that I know who I am, and I don't have to be intimidated by anybody else's identification or perspective of who they think I am. I gotta know who I am, that I am in the kingdom of God. Oh, glory to God. My God. Bless the name of the Lord. Yeah. I tell you, hey, it feels good in here, amen. Yeah. And it's not just because the air is working good. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost is here, amen. Yeah. Ah. Amen. Listen, y'all, I like this. A good crowd this morning, amen. I hope y'all keep this same energy throughout the service, amen. Just blessing the name of the Lord, smiling, having a good time at the house of the Lord, amen. It's good, amen. So now I got you all energized and pumped, amen. Now you be ready to write out them checks, amen, and get that pocketbook out, get that wallet out, amen. And let's begin to show the Lord, God, you've been so good to me. I'm getting ready to pay my tithes today. I'm getting ready to give my offering. I'm going to give my seed, amen, because you've been so kind to me, amen. Amen, hallelujah. It is time to give on this morning. It's time to sow. We're excited, amen, about what God is doing here at New Covenant Worship Center. Everybody that continues to support this ministry, your giving and your faithful tithes and offering, we appreciate every seed sown, amen, and what you all do to continue to sustain the ministry. And we're grateful for 13 years, amen, that God has graced us, and we're still moving forward and still expecting great things to come. So those of you all who are watching online, you can go to our website and give www.newcovnc.com. You can click the give time, give tab, amen. You can give towards the tithes and offer toward benevolence, toward our debt freedom seed, wherever the Holy Spirit leads you to sow today. Those of you all who have easy time, that's your best way, the easiest way to give and keep track of your giving. If you have not downloaded that app, just go to your app store on your phone and search for Easy Time. Look for New Covenant Worship Center, Joliet, Illinois. Set up all of your settings, and you'll be ready to give on a week-to-week basis, day-to-day basis, wherever you're at in the world, you can give, amen. And those of you all who are dependent upon the United States Postal Service, we thank God for our postal workers, those who work in the Postal Service system. We appreciate you. You can mail your seat to 2423 Glenwood Avenue, Joliet, Illinois, 60435, amen. If you need an envelope in the building, Brother Terrence has an envelope for you. If you will raise your hand, he will get you an envelope. You can give. We're grateful and thankful, amen, that our debt freedom seed, our year of debt freedom is moving forward. Listen, I'm excited to announce today because last week we raised $1,523 towards our goal. And listen to this, guys. All we need now is $23,717. We are well below our halfway point. I'm telling you, you guys are amazing, amen. We have a little over four and a half months left in this year. And I'm grateful that I'm telling you God is blessing us. And I'm in great expectation that we're going to meet this need, amen, sooner than December, amen. And we're going to have overflow and increase. And we're believing God to pay this building off in the early part of next year and just experience God's goodness, amen. As we're moving into overflow, amen. And I want you to declare this over your life, and I want you to begin to release this over your life for the remainder of this year, and tell somebody that's sitting next to you or around you, it's my winning season. Tell somebody else, if they didn't believe it, it's my winning season. I need you to get that in your spirit. I need you to just begin to declare it, because once you speak it out of your mouth, because there's life and death in the power of the tongue. Now tell somebody behind you, it's my winning season. Oh my God, it's my winning season. I'm stirring up the atmosphere because I want you to be there in your spirit, and I want you to believe that declaration. Now it's not going to end at the end of the year. We just put it in motion and make it a declaration, because that's how we walk in our life every day, because we belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But I want you to just get it in your spirit and to begin to declare it on a day-to-day basis. When they try to tell you you're going to lose, when they try to tell you you're not going to make it, when they try to tell you your health is failing you, now you just stand up and tell them, it's my winning season. There are no losses for me. Everything I do is victory. Everything I do, I'm winning in it. Everything I'm doing, I'm succeeding in it. Everything I'm going through, I'm going to yet be blessed. Everything in spite of, it's my winning season. And I dare you to get that in your spirit. I dare you to now put it at the silence of your emails. And when they see your name, they're going to see, it's my winning season. And what's going to happen is, everybody that might be an enemy to you, they don't even speak it, because they're going to see it in writing, and they got to read it out their mouth. Oh, I'm stirring up something in your life today. It's my winning season. It's my winning season. It's my winning season. I declare by the power of the blood of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. It's my winning season. You send a text message to somebody that may be upset with you or angry, and you close that with, it's my winning season. And they speaking that thing into existence. They speaking that thing over your life. I'm telling you, God's getting ready to manifest in the remainder of this year. Oh my God. Hey, hey. My bank account winning. My children winning. My health is winning. My life is winning. My aunt, my uncle, my grandchildren are winning. My cousins, my nieces, my God. Those of you all who are ready to hear, amen, on my right, you can come on from the rear to the front. After that declaration, you might have to go back and write another check. Amen. I don't know what the Lord does spoke to you right there. He might say, let me add a few more zeros on here. Because I'm telling you, I'm in expectation. Hallelujah, Jesus. God bless you, young man. God bless you. God bless you, man of God. We might have to work on that as a song. It's my winning season. Hallelujah. Those of y'all on my left, amen. You're ready to sow and give. You can receive from the rear to the front. God bless you. to give. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time of tithes and offering, God. We thank you for every seed that was sown on today, God. We thank you, Lord, that we're moving in expectation, God, that we declare over this seed that it's our winning season, God, that as we plant it in faith, God, we expect a harvest of 100-fold return, Father God, and we just release blessings over this seed, God, that it will continue to be used for the building of your kingdom and for the work of the ministry, God, and we ask you to seal it in your blood, God, and we thank you for it, and it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, it's time for our announcements. Oh, Sister Robin is here, amen. In her stone washed blue jean colors. Come on through. I see you. Yes.
Good morning, New Covenant.
Good morning.
I'd just like to welcome you guys out to New Covenant Worship Center. Whether you're watching online or in person, you guys are welcome. Now, I don't know how many of y'all received that, your winning season, but I'm a winner.
Amen.
At 8 p.m., it's mid 8:30. Yes, that. Girl, you just winning with them times. You did. It's 8:30. It's men's on the conference line. Wednesday is corporate fasting, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Fruit, nuts, water, juice, and a small salad. Thursday is Bible study, 6:30. Saturday is movement ministry at 7 a.m. and we can meet in the church parking lot. Sunday school is at 9 a.m. And if you guys need the Zoom link, you can see Minister Oliver for that. And Sunday morning worship starts at 10 a.m. Now, if we can stand to our feet, all you winners. And I'm going to introduce to you Pastor Jonas Jones.
Amen. God bless you all. Thank you all. I'm telling you, I thank God for the announcements. Amen. We can have joy. You all may be seated. I'm telling you, laughter is good. Amen. Y'all got Mother Harper here cracking up. Amen. Amen. It's well. Listen, one other announcement. Amen. The media team, if anyone wants to do an interview for whatever they may be interviewing for concerning the ministry, please see the media team after church in the sound booth. Amen.
Amen.
All right. We're going to get you guys on camera and talking about some good stuff. Amen.
Amen.
Don't be shy. Amen. Listen, I'm grateful, amen, for what God is doing and how he's moving and how he gives us the word in order to feed us and to encourage us. And last week we started this series, The Big Payback, and we began to share and talk about how the vengeance of God and how vengeance belongs to him. And we have a responsibility of some things that we need to do in order for God to move fully and to begin to bring forth retribution and recompense for things that may happen in our lives. And so we're thankful, amen, that vengeance belongs to God. And, but today we're going to visit a principle that operates on some things that we are responsible for doing in order to initiate payback. But it's kind of a it's what God has put in motion, and it's a principle of God. You can't get around it. You can't avoid it. The world, they've defined it for those who may not believe in the scriptures, but a lot of things that the world takes is scriptural based. And some people will call it karma, but in the scripture it's called sowing and reaping.
Yeah.
You reap what you sow.
Yeah.
You reap what you sow.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to recognize that some seeds that we may have sown, whether there be some seeds that were negative seeds, seeds that were evil, you're going to reap a harvest of that seed. Amen. So the principles do not lie. The principles do not go away. You have to recognize that. So I have to be mindful of what am I sowing? What am I doing that I'm expecting a harvest of? So because if you're constantly sowing discord and evil and mischief, you're constantly sowing against, talking against your brother or sister, you got to realize somebody's going to talk against you. Somebody's going to gossip about you. Somebody's going to say some things that necessarily are not true about you. If you find yourself in those particular seed sowing avenues, that's the harvest that you're going to reap. And the scripture talks about that. I'm going to open up with that. But then we're going to go to Judges, and we're going to go to Deuteronomy, and we're going to close out for the day. But I want you to go to Galatians first. I'm jumping right in today. I want to feed you real good and get you home and get your spiritual food, and then you get your natural food and take your Sunday nap, and then wake back up and watch some TV, and then, you know, get your stuff ready for work tomorrow and then go back to bed. That's your routine. Amen. Lay it out for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. We party Friday and said, I'm not partying today, Pastor Benice. Come through now. All right, Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to read from the NLT version first, and then I'm going to read us our traditional King James version, which gives us what we are recognized and familiar with. So let's look at Galatians chapter 6, starting at verse 7. I'm in the New Living Translation, NLT version. It says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up.
Yes.
Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. Now let me read from the traditional King James Version. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto who? All men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So I want us to grab and start here today, because I want us to begin to understand that we have to sow good things. We have to sow things that will glorify and build up our spirit man, that will build up the kingdom of God, because that's what's going to produce an everlasting life that's going to begin to harvest us to the place to reap good things. But notice what it says. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest what? Decay and death from that sinful nature. So it says, you in that New Living Translation, it says, you will always harvest what you plant. So you have to realize, a lot of people, we get caught up and we don't recognize, and some people are constantly looking for a harvest of money, but you ain't sowed no money seeds. And you got to realize this, because people miss this area, and you have to be diligent, and you're seeking, and you're saying, I've been serving God and I've been giving my tithes and offering, but have I sown seed above that?
That's it.
in order to reap a harvest from that. And so we have to begin to recognize, because it's going to begin to build some things in you. It's going to begin to draw some things to you. And you have to realize, if I sow kindness, I should reap kindness. If you're sowing bad habits, you're sowing being angry and evil and being contentious toward people all the time, you're going to reap that. You're going to reap that. That's the principle. And so if we understand that, if I do the thing that God has called me to be and being obedient to that, I'm going to reap the reward. The scripture says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But also after that, it tells you that if you don't be obedient, you're going to reap this particular harvest that's not good. So we have to understand that there is consequences attached to those things that we sow. And we have to be diligent and mindful of what we sow.
Yes.
You got to be mindful of what you sow. And you have to be be ready to look around and say, when things start happening in my life, I got to ask the question, what have I been sowing? Because when good continues to keep happening for you and blessings keep continuing to flow in your life, you got to recognize, I've been sowing some good seed. I've been sowing some love. I've been sowing some joy. I've been sowing some encouragement to people, because God's bringing forth good seed. I thank God. I think it was last week. One of our childhood friends we grew up with, and he called me out the blue. And he said, I just called to tell you I love you, man. I was thinking about you. And I'm telling you, I have not talked to him all year. And he just picked up the phone. He said, man, I just called to tell you I love you. I said, man, that blessed my life. Because why? I've sown encouragement to other people. I've sown that, so I've reaped that. I wasn't expecting it, but God knew I planted the seed. And he'll harvest it when the time is for it to come. Because he said, if you wait on it and don't faith, it's going to come. It's going to manifest, but you have to have the patience to wait on it. Amen? Don't get weary in well-doing. So let's go to Judges first, and then we'll do Deuteronomy, and then we're going to come back to Judges. Is that all right? Amen. Keep in mind, sowing and reaping. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Because we're going to see something in Judges of an individual receiving payback. Let's go to Judges chapter 1. Now, here in the book of Judges, and in this particular time, and when things are getting ready to move forward, Joshua has died, and now the Israelites have the assignment of going in and conquering the promised land and the territory that God has promised them, and they have to begin to remove the enemies of the land. Those that will cause them to have issue or problem or trouble, or that will try to lure them away from serving the true and living God. And so they've been given that assignment to go in and to rid them through war, through battle, and destroying those particular ones in the land so that they can now possess it. And so in this particular first Judges chapter 1, it sets up for the particular plan of how God begins to move and how he begins to operate and bring forth judges to help the children of Israel, to help the nation of Israel to be able to move forward and to gain the things that God has promised them. So let's look at Judges chapter 1 at verse 1. It says, after the death of Joshua, the Israelites asked the Lord, which tribe should go first to attack the Canaanites? The Lord answered, Judah, for I have given them victory over the land. Now notice this, they made an acknowledgement and they begin to now seek and ask God for direction. You have to be in the place to ask God for direction and how you should be moving. And they acknowledged God in that. They said, which tribe should go first to attack the Canaanites? The Lord answered Judah, for I have given them victory over the land. Verse 3, the men of Judah said to their relatives from the tribe of Simeon, join with us to fight against the Canaanites living in the territory allotted to us. Now you have to be mindful. Who has God called you to team up with?
Yeah.
Because you have to seek God for wisdom on who you should team up with, because everybody who you team up with does not have the same goal at mind, does not have the same agenda in order to move you and to progress you to your place of victory or for you to receive all what God has for you. So you have to ask God, who needs to team up with me, because I need some help and assistance in this area in order for me to obtain the victory. And so they went and they said, well, they asked the tribe of Simeon, will you all come in and join in with us to fight against the Canaanites? It says, then we will help conquer your territory. So the men of Simeon went with Judah. So Judah and Simeon have come together and joined together on one accord.
Yes.
Oh my God. Because they're getting ready to fight against an enemy.
Yes.
They have a goal and they have the same mindset, and they're moving toward the very thing that they need to destroy. They're coming together. It says, when the men of Judah attacked, the Lord gave them victory over the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and they killed 10,000 enemy warriors at the town of Bezek. While at Bezek, they encouraged King Adoni-Bezek and fought against him, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites were defeated. Adoni-Bezek escaped. Listen at this. But the Israelites soon captured him and cut off his thumbs and his big toes. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You would say, you better thank God this is not the warfare you fight in today.
Yes.
That we fight in the spirit.
Yes.
So listen to verse 7. It says, Adoni-Bezek said, I once had 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off, eating scraps from under my table. Now God has paid me back for what I did to them. They took him to Jerusalem and he died there. So wait a minute.
Come on,
Pastor. He sold, taking off the toes and thumbs of kings that he had been in war against, that he had been in battle against. And now when the Israelites come against his particular region, against his particular men, and they capture him, they cut off his toe and his thumbs. And he recognizes and he looks back and he realizes, I sold this. The king recognized that I sold this. Now, I'm going somewhere. The Israelites, this was not what they were supposed to do. But the principle of sowing and reaping was just in operation. And it just so happened that his toes and thumbs were cut off. Because in actuality, the Israelites were in disobedience. They had been instructed to kill the kings and everything that was a part of those Canaanite nations. They were supposed to kill them and destroy them, not allow them to now be in a place where they were maimed and they cut off their members and they still live. He eventually died, but they should have went in killing him and not maiming him. So they were not operating in obedience to the instructions that had been given them when they were supposed to go in and possess this land. But because he recognized that he sold this, and that he sold this, now he's reaping the thing that he did into other people's life. And so this is why you got to begin to ask yourself, what have I sown against other people that I'm reaping in my life now? What type of havoc have I caused? What type of confusion have I caused? What type of chaos have I done? What type of evil have I done to people that now evil keeps coming back in my life? I got to look back and say, where did this come from? Because they weren't told to go and cut off his toes and his thumbs. But he recognized, I had been operating like this. I had received payback. So you got to recognize and understand, payback is coming. On the good seed or the bad seed. Payback is coming. So now, let me take you to the instruction of what had been given to the nation of Israel so you can understand where we're going. Let's go to Deuteronomy 7. Because we're going to come back to Judges. I'm going to show you a little more. Let's go to Deuteronomy 7. We there? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God that, you know, we got technology now. Because, you know, you had that paper back. You had to go flip it. You had to give you a little more time. You had to flip through the pages. Amen. Deuteronomy 7, We're starting at verse 1. It says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land you are about to enter and occupy, he will clear away many nations ahead of you, the Hittites, the Gerizzites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. These seven nations are greater and more numerous than you. When the Lord your God hands these nations over to you and you conquer them, you must completely destroy them. Highlight that. That's the key. He's told them. He said, you must completely destroy them. It says, make no treaties with them and show them no mercy. You must not intermarry with them. Do not let your daughters and sons marry their sons and daughters, for they will lead your children away from me to worship other gods. Oh, my God. Have we put some type of parameters and boundaries around our children that they don't interact with people that may not be raised up the same way they're raised? And could this be possibly some of the issues that have become a problem where other people who have now have influence on our children that don't have the same morals, the same value system, the same honor system, and this begins to now disrupt and it begins to taint and it begins to lure our children into moving in different areas? See, God placed things in place and position and did things to protect us. But what happens is our permissive will got ahead of us, and we wanted that permissive will gratified more than God's divine will.
Amen.
And so we're constantly in a position where God gives us choice, and you have a decision to make. Am I going to follow what God has put in place, or do I go forward and do what I want to do? Because all the time what we want to do is not always beneficial. What we want to do is not always best for us, and we have to understand that. So he goes on, he says in verse 4, he said, for they will lead your children away to worship other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and he will quickly destroy you. So notice, if you sow in doing disobedience, God said, I'm going to destroy you also, even though you're my people. Because the law of sowing and reaping is a principle, and you operating in disobedience, you're going to reap the thing and the consequences because of the disobedience. He said, this is what you must do. You must break down their pagan altars and shatter their sacred pillars. Cut down their Asherah poles and burn their idols. For you are a holy people who belong to the Lord your God. Of all the people on the earth, the Lord God has chosen you to be his own special treasure. The Lord did not set his heart on you and choose you because you were numerous than other nations, for you were the smallest of all nations. I want to encourage you that God chose you because you wasn't big as you thought you was. God chose you because you thought you was a bag of chips and a Pepsi too, but God said, no, you were the smallest. You were the least of them. And God said, I can use you because now I can back you and I can put you into areas and put you in the situation where you look like you're outnumbered. You look like you're going to be defeated. But because God is backing you, the whole host of heaven is with you, that you will obtain the victory. Why? Because you're walking with God. He said, rather, it was simply that the Lord loves you and he was keeping the oath he had sworn to your ancestors. You better thank God that God's still holding on to some stuff your grandmama told God about you. Oh, y'all missing this thing today. You better thank God that some of the things that the pacts and some of the covenants that your grandparents, your uncles, your aunts, that they put into a place and they begin to speak to God. They said, God, keep them children. Keep them great-grandchildren. Watch over them babies. And because of their words, God said, I'm going to honor that covenant. I'm going to honor what they spoke. See, God is a God of honor. He honors his word. It's us that dishonor our words. It's us that get out of the realm of the spirit and honor what we said. And this is what God teaches. This is what he does. He said he loves us. And he said he's going to keep the oath because he made an agreement and a covenant with our ancestors. He said that is why the Lord rescued you with such a strong hand from your slavery and from the opposition hand and the oppressive hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for, listen at this, for 1,000 generations. Y'all missing this. I'm giving you way more wisdom than you shouting about.
Amen.
Because you have the same power of God. Because he's been creating his image and likeness. So when I pray, I decree and declare that 1,000 generations of my bloodline shall be saved, shall serve the Lord, shall worship God, shall honor God, shall be in relationship with God. Because he says it right here in the scripture. He keeps covenant for 1,000 generations. generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. I'm here to encourage you. I need you to obey his commands. I need you to walk in the love of God. I need you to decree and declare that God's going to keep covenant for 1,000 generations on my bloodline, that nobody attached to my bloodline is going to be unsaved. They will not experience lack and poverty and disease. They will be blessed. But I love this. Look at verse 10. But he does not hesitate to punish and destroy those who reject him. Oh, you got to, because you got a choice. We got a choice to reject or receive Jesus. We got a choice to reject or receive it. He says, therefore, you must obey all these commands, decrees, and regulations I'm giving you today.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Can y'all give me grace and I'll read down to verse 15. I just want to read down to verse 15. And we go on to Judges 3. And I promise we're not going to be much longer. It says, if you listen to these regulations and faithfully obey them, the Lord your God will keep his covenant of unfailing love with you, as he promised with an oath to your ancestors. He will love you and bless you. He will give you many children. He will give fertility to your land and your animals. When you arrive in the land he swore to give your ancestors, you will have large harvests of grain, new wine, olive oil, and great herds of cattle, sheep, and goats. Listen, God is laying all this out because the nation of Israel has gone through hell. They just came out of the bondage to Pharaoh. They've just come out of slavery. They have come through under this persecution, under this bondage, and God is now laying out the things that is available to them if they would yield and obey his instructions and fall in line with the commands of God. He said, these are the things that you will have. These are the things that will come to you, and you got to be willing to now operate in that, because this is what God has planned for the nation of Israel. This is what God had planned for his people at the time, and we're going to see what happens when we go back to Judges, because they begin to disobey. And when they get into that vein of disobeying, they now forfeit the blessings that God promised. And now they go through more torture. They go through more bondage and captivity. So you have to recognize, I want to stay in line with the blessing. Verse 14, you will be blessed above all the nations of the earth. None of your men or women will be childless, and all your livestock will bear young. And the Lord will protect you from, listen to this, all sickness. Oh my God. Can't no COVID, can't no monkeypox. God's protecting me of all sickness. He will not let you suffer from the terrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but he will inflict them on all your enemies. My God. I'm telling you, it's a blessing to be in the kingdom. It's a blessing to serve the Lord. Because he said he's going to protect me from the terrible diseases that you knew in Egypt. Egypt is representation of the world. He will protect you. He will keep you. I know some of us have experienced it, but I'm here to tell you, you're still here today to live and talk about it. It didn't kill you. It didn't take you out. But God has graced you to overcome it. Oh, my God. Jesus.
Yes, he did. Thank you.
Oh, my God. Five more verses, and I'm going to Judges 3. That's it. Listen, you must destroy all the nations the Lord your God hands over to you. Show them no mercy, and do not worship their gods, or they will trap you. Don't worship their gods, or they're going to trap you. See, let me help you out. The biggest struggle in things that happen in marriages is because you're trying to join together two people that are exact opposites. It's not just about them being male and female. But you're trying to bring together two people who have been raised and have different value systems. They have different things in order to be able to now bring this into one flesh. Now, you're trying to join together all these different viewpoints, all these different perspectives, all these different opinions. You're trying to come together and bring it to one. And so it's important that you understand that I have to be equally yoked with an individual. Because if you yoke up with someone that is not equally on your level or your understanding of what your values are, it's going to begin to be a struggle.
Yes, it will.
In order to become one, in order for you to come together. And so you're going to have the ability and the fight in you and the perseverance in you and the temperance in you and the self-control in you, because when they're in a place and they're doing something contrary to what you believe or what you believe should be right, you got to be willing to find out what's the area we can compromise in, because it's going to constantly bring up strife, discord, and tension in your relationship. So you have to be willing to understand that when I attach myself to somebody that's serving other gods, or attach myself to someone that's not walking in the same value system or the same mindset, and we're not on the same accord, it's going to cause friction.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And so I have to be willing to know that as I get married, they become one. Just because they got married don't mean they got one at the altar. They become means there's work involved. It's a becoming, so there's a work involved, and you have to be willing to put in the work in order to become one. In order for us to gain the true blessing. But you can't walk into that thing knowing that somebody is acting a whole nut fool, and you don't accept them and begin to bring them into relation to say, well, God gonna make them better. Once they say I do, they gonna change. Once they get it together, once I just give them a little more time. You've been dating them for 3 years, and this time nothing has changed. Their mindset ain't changed, their attitude ain't changed. So when you get to the altar and say yes, you're gonna get more of that and plus some, because now they say, I got you, baby. I ain't going nowhere. I'm gonna keep on giving you more hell, because I gave you the best hell before I married you. So you gotta understand, I'm not gonna get trapped up with somebody that is an enemy to God, because I recognize and realize they're gonna hinder my progress. God bless your ministry today. That was just a sidebar for those who are dealing in marital relationships. They just needed some relationship advice. Amen. We thank God for wisdom. Amen. So verse 17 said, Perhaps you will think to yourselves, how can we ever conquer these nations that are so much more powerful than we are? But don't be afraid of them. Just remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and all the land of Egypt. Remember the great terrors the Lord your God sent against them. You saw it all with your own eyes. And remember the miraculous signs and wonders that the strong hand and powerful arm with which he brought you out of Egypt. The Lord your God will use the same power against all the people you fear. Now go back to Judges. Chapter 3. Oh my God. Y'all gracing me, right? Let's just read. I mean, it's good to read the scripture because that's what we're here for, right? Come on. Sister Sarah, I'm telling you, I'm going to give you an offer after this. I swear to God. Just bless my life. Listen. Judges chapter 3. Look at verse 1. It says, these are the nations that the Lord left in the land to test those Israelites who had not experienced the wars of Canaan. He did this to teach warfare to generations of Israelites who had no experience in battle. These are the nations, the Philistines, those living under the five Philistine rulers, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, and the Hivites living in the mountains of Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon to Lebo Hamah. These people were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the commands the Lord had given to their ancestors through Moses. Now I love God. So now this is what happens. Now you done made the decision to marry the Joker. You in it. Now God said, I'm going to test to see, are you going to use love as a weapon, or are you going to keep using hate? Are you going to use the proper weapons? Are you going to be kind in order when they being mean, or are you going to render evil for evil? Because these people were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the commands of the Lord, which had been given their ancestors through Moses. God said, I'll raise up an enemy for you so that you can understand what warfare looks like. So you got to understand something. There's some things that's going to come upon your life that you got to recognize that God is trying to build you. He's trying to strengthen you. He's trying to get something out your life. Because if you never go to the battlefield, you'll never know how strong you'll be. You'll never know how courageous you are. You'll never know how much confidence you have. Because be no weak soldier. I'm going to fight to the end. The Apostle Paul said, I have run the race. I have fought the good fight of faith. I could finish my course and finish my assignment. I need somebody that's ready to stay the course. Somebody that's ready to go through the end till the battle is over. Don't give up prematurely, baby. Don't give up right now. I'm trying to train you in warfare. This is just basic boot camp. Because if you hold on, God's going to pay you back tremendously. The tears you've been suffering, the pain you've been going through, the trouble you've been enduring, God said, I'm going to reward you if you stand. If you stand in the midst of the trial, if you stand in the midst of the tribulation, God said, you're going to get the victory. But you got to be willing to go through the warfare. See, some of us have lost our fight. You used to fight real tough in the world. You got saved and got all sweet. You need to pull up and say, I got some warfare left in me. And I'm going to use this thing to the glory of God. Because you got to change your weapon. That's all. You can't fight in the flesh like you did in the world. But you got to have that same tenacity. You got to have that same zeal that, you know what, I'm going to kill. I'm going to take care of this thing in the spirit. I'm going to pray. I'm going to lose love on them. I'm going to lose peace on them. I'm going to begin to do what God's instructed me to do. Oh, my God. So listen. Look at verse 5, because this is, remember what we read in Deuteronomy. Because this is what happens. When you begin to disobey the instruction of God, you're going to reap what you've sown. Look at verse 5. So the people of Israel lived among the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And they intermarried with them. What did we just read? He said, don't do it, right? He said, don't do it. He said, Israelite sons married their daughters, and Israelite daughters were given in marriage to their sons, and the Israelites served their gods. And what happens is, he already warned them. He already told them what was going to be their payback for their disobedience. And now you go and still disobey, and you expect the payback not to begin to come to you based on the disobedience? That's not going to, God don't operate like that. So notice, once you start following after the gods of other people, and you start now coming outside of covenant relationship with the true and living God, because God has already spoken and said, I am a jealous God. You shall not have any other gods before me. Those were the parts of the commandments that he's given. He said, I'm a jealous God. I don't want you to serve these other gods, because these gods are going to lure you into things that does not build you up, that does not build you to the place of where I want to take you. It's going to take you away from the things of God. This is why you have to be mindful who you yoke up with. And I'm not talking about just in marriage. I'm talking about them friendships and the folk you got you hang around with. It messes me up. You've been living your whole life doing good. You ain't drank. You didn't drink for 30, 40 years. And you meet up with a job, you become friends with them, and they say, well, you know, after work, I'm going to the bar. Okay, I'm going to hang out with you. Don't go to the bar. I'm just going to have me a Coke. We're going to sit at the bar. We're going to talk. We're going to fellowship and have a good time. Cool. Next Friday, come. We're going to the bar. We're going to hang out. I'm going to have some drinks. You know, I drink. But I know you don't drink. Just get you. I'm going to get a Coke. We're going to be good. We're going to hang out. We're going to chill out. It's going to be cool. Third, fourth time going to the bar. Man, rough was work today. I think I feel like I need me something a little stronger than this Coke. Now listen to this. What the friend does is not abide by what you've already established as a rule for your life. Amen. Your friend should say, now you know you don't drink. Amen. Now you know that's not what you do. Don't do that.
There you go.
Don't even fall into it. It's going to be all right. We're going to hang your Coke today. We're going to put a little more ice in it and make it a little bit better. And it's going to be cool. But no, that friend doesn't operate in that level, in that mindset, because they're looking to gain a partner that's going to be willing to drink with them. Oh, you're drinking with me, but you're not drinking what I drink. See, I need some ex-drinkers. You know, vodka drinkers hang out with vodka drinkers because we're going to the liquor store together to buy the drink. Yo, I need y'all real bougie today. Y'all real sedentary today. Rum drinkers don't hang out with gin drinkers, baby. Yeah, don't. Can I get a please? Can somebody please help me and stop acting real funny? Thank you, Brother Keith. Somebody gonna be a witness up in here, because I know I ain't lying today. Talk to me, please, Sister Robin. They acting like it's foreign to them. I know you've been saved, sanctified for a good while, but baby, I know what happens in them streets, because I see the widows on the corner. They sharing the UV. That's what they drink, UV vodka. Because the person who drinks the brown liquor say, I don't drink that. So I'm not hanging with the, if brown liquor, brown liquor hanging here. Let's make that's all I'm trying to get you to understand. Because I'm going somewhere. Because what the friend's going to do now, they're going to say, oh, you had a bad day? You deserve a drink.
Come on.
You deserve that drink. I'm going to buy it for you. Oh, God. So now you find yourself doing something you've been good, you've never done before. Come on. And the reason it tastes so good is you ain't have to pay for it. Because once you get the first one down, they say, go ahead, have another one. I got you. Because that I got you will get you. Because that king said, I got you, and that will get you. Because that's what the enemy does. He sets up the pattern. And he begins to lure you into the trap. Because now you find yourself yoked up, hooked up around people who are serving another God that you don't serve. I'm trying to help you get free today. I know it's tight, but it's right. But this is the big payback. Because what happens is, when you fall into that, now you find yourself, now you wake up next morning, you got a hangover, you got a headache, you got all this stuff and everything. And then your friend call you, they all chirping, hey, how you doing? What's going on? Because they used to being drunk. And you're like, oh, what did you do to me? What happened last night? Girl, you had about 10 shots. What do you mean, what happened? 10 shots? I don't even drink. I drank 10. Because I kept saying, I got you. Yes, that's what ended up. So now, listen what happens. Because now once they intermarry and they get into that particular realm of serving other gods, now they're moving into something that they're not familiar with. All right. And now you start doing things that you're not accustomed to doing.
Come on.
Because this is out of your character. Because why? You've allowed someone to pull you into something that was not, that you didn't do. And now look what happens in verse 7. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. They forgot about the Lord their God, and they served the images of Baal and Asherah poles. So once you get into this thing, now you forget about God. Yeah. You forget about your moral value system. You forget about that, you know what, I don't like drinking, and drinking's not good for me. But now drinking becomes better, and now you start doing it on your own now.
Yeah.
Because someone's opened the door, and you've allowed them to come in and to begin to tempt and to try to lure you. It wasn't even like they intentionally did it. It's just how the enemy will set stuff up.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Because he sets stuff up to make it easy to be seduced.
Amen.
And to be lured into the trap. So he said the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. Because why? They out of the will of God. They out of the plan of God. They now intermarried. And they now with the son and daughters and doing all this other stuff and chasing their God. It says they forgot about the Lord their God. And they served the images of Baal, the Asherah poles. It says, then the Lord burned with anger against Israel. And he turned them over to King Cushan Rishathaim and of Aram Naharaim. Yep. And the Israelites served Cushan Rishathaim for 8 years. So wait a minute. I just got out of bondage.
Come on. Yeah. Well,
I just got out of Egypt.
Yeah.
And I was moving into my promised land. God told me it was going to be flowing with milk and honey.
Wow.
He told me that the harvest was going to be great. He told me that my cattle was going to be blessed. He told me that my wives would never be childless. He told me that everything of the harvest and the oils and the wine was going to be great. But now I found myself falling into the trap of disobeying the plan that God had instructed me to follow. And now I'm being repaid with being put back in bondage. Eight more years. Because I sowed the disobedience, I got to reap the consequence of it. Because God is not the son of man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he shall repent. If he said it, he spoke it, he's going to make good on it. And the good on it is he's going to honor his word. Because if you disobey, this is the consequence. So listen to this, because we're getting ready to close. And the Israelites served Cushan Rishathaim for 8 years. But look at verse 9. I'm hitting up somebody. God's paying you back for some stuff. And you may have been going through stuff for a season and having a hard time. But God is so gracious and so kind to us. He gives you opportunity to come to your senses. He doesn't leave you at that place if you're willing to recognize, like King Adonibezek, he said, listen, I sold this. This is just payback. My toes and my thumbs is gone because I did this to 70 other kings. But here, he died, went on ahead and died, but I need to get to the point in place. God said, if I get to the point in place that I recognize my disobedience and I begin to confess with my mouth. He said he's faithful and just enough to forgive you and cleanse you of all your sins. But you got to be willing to recognize. Listen at the scripture, verse 9. But when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help. I need you to get to the point and place and cry out for help. Don't you sit there in silence. Don't you sit there in pain. Don't you sit there suffering. You better cry out to the Lord. The Lord already sees your pain. The Lord sees your agony. He saw your disobedience. He's just waiting on you. Is it going to take 1 year, 5 years, 8 years, or 20 more years of bondage before you wake up and realize it's time for me to cry out? How long will you suffer in the bondage at the hand of somebody else? How long will you suffer at the bondage and the torment and the confusion and the heartache and the pain of somebody else because of the disobedience? He said, but when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, the Lord raised up a rescuer. Y'all missing this thing. God said, he said, I'll raise up somebody that's going to pay back you for the 8 years of bondage. So God said, I'll redeem the time and give you back the time that you lost. He said, I'll raise up a rescuer. Oh, I love God. Listen at this. And his name was Othniel. Tell somebody, why did you put that in the comments? Othniel. I might name one of my grandkids Othniel. Get an old name, just bring it back. Othniel. That name got some power. Othniel. Listen. Oh, it's Othniel Sharp or Othniel? Come on, brother Othniel. He got the Othniel in him. So Othniel gonna be our rescuer. Oh my God, this getting good. Boy, I tell you, Othniel, you in the building. This God is good. Listen. His name was Othniel, the son of Caleb's younger brother, Kenaz. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he became Israel's judge. He went to war against King Cushan Rishathaim of Aram, and the Lord gave Othniel victory over him. So there was peace in the land for 40 years. Y'all better, if y'all don't help me shout, I was in bondage for 8 years, but God said, I'll give you 40 years of peace. I'll give you 40 years of grace. I'll give you 40 years of victory. Even will pay you double for your trouble. Man, I'll tell you this thing, bless my life. Because God said he placed the Spirit of the Lord upon Othniel. And you got to recognize who God has chosen to be your rescuer. Has God placed that spirit in their life? Yeah. Has God anointed them? Has God placed them to be the chosen one? Because you got to recognize that God has sent somebody that will be your rescuer. But I need to know, are you anointed? I need to know, is the Spirit of the Lord working with you? I need to know, are you a faster? I need to know, do you read your word? I need to know, are you a prayer warrior? Because I don't want to attach myself to somebody that looks like a representative of my rescuer, and that's not truly the rescuer. Y'all missing this because I'm going somewhere. See, you keep dating the man's representatives. You keep dating the man's representative. While y'all dating, he's showing you all his good sides. You never seen a joke get upset? He's so nice. He always taking care of me, taking me out to the best restaurant. He's so nice. He giving and kind. He take care. He good. And you know, I think this is the one. And we get caught in the representative. And then you get married. Ooh, I'm a.
Do it, Pastor.
Get out. This real life. I'm gonna tell you how people can be and how hurtful they'll be. Oh my God. So I was listening to the podcast of the podcast that I sent, and I listened to another one, and there was a couple on there who had got divorced after 10 years, I believe. And so they were doing an interview with the man and the woman, both of them there. And they were in church, both in church. They were not intimate before marriage. They dated 18 months before they got married. Stayed celibate until that wedding night. Get to the wedding night. They've been good, everything fine. Good, we love each other, we get married. On the wedding night, to consummate this marriage, the man does his thing, y'all know what I'm saying? He did his thing, rolled over, and said, you can take care of yourself the best way you can. On the wedding night. She was like, what is this? I've been waiting to have this intimate moment. And you this cold, this nasty, this disrespectful, this uncaring, this unkind. But you've been so nice and sweet all the 18 months. But now here comes a side of you that I didn't know you had. But you already consummated and come into covenant. You got to be willing to recognize that this is the thing that you're now attached to, and you got to begin to now deal with the true self of who this individual is. And this is why you have to have discernment, and you have to begin to see past the surface stuff. And so now you got to have better conversations and ask, well, what's really going on? What kind of, well, you know, how should I expect you to act in an argument or disagreement? You know, are you angry? Are you fly with them out? Do you cuss women out? Do you call them bees? Do you, what do you do? And see, we need to, this is where we have to have these conversations, because then once you get married, they call you something outside your name. You're like, wait, hold on. And now you're reacting, but you got to realize this is what you signed up. This is what you said yes to, because you didn't discern it, because you were now overtaken by the facade and the representative. And what we do, we ignore it.
Yeah, that's it right there.
We ignore it. And then I'll tell you the worst thing, and we're going to close with the Joker told her after 10 years of marriage. And it was a lie, though. Because there's no way you could have had. This is what he said. There's no way. It was a lie. It was a cop out for him. He said he had been fasting, and beginning of the year he fasted normally. Beginning of the year, and this year he fasted as he normally did. And he just really got before the Lord with the right motive, because he was going and fasting with the wrong motive. And he said this year he was seeking guidance and wisdom, and so he made the decision. Said this time let's get a divorce. And he came to his wife. He said, I never loved you. Out of 10 years, you never loved me. He said that out of his whole mouth on the interview. Now that's a lie. There's no way you've been with this person 10 years you never loved. Because love is an action word. You came in, brought some money to the table. You came in and took care of some stuff. You came in and touched me or caressed me or hugged me. You were intimate. Y'all haven't had sex in 10 years. Not saying you got to be in love to have sex with somebody. Come on, Sister Allison, help me out. It's just real talk.
Amen.
And so here it is. He tells you, I never loved you. How do I come back from that? I put my time in, invested my life. 10 years. Wasted 10 years. You never loved me? It's a lie. That's a cop out. You're trying to find a way out. But you let that come out your mouth. That's why you have to be mindful. You gotta be assured of who am I yoking up with?
Yes.
And I want to be in line with God's plan for where God has taken me. Because I need to be healed. I need to be restored. I need to be built up. I need to find and know what God is speaking to me. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, give the Lord a hand, praise. Well, we thank God because we just got some good stuff all in the big payback. We had a whole male conference right in the midst of it. That's what God would do. Listen, I'm so excited, amen, about this series. I hope this begins to encourage you that I got to be mindful of what I sow because I'm going to reap it. Reap good so you can sow good so you can reap good. Amen? It's the bottom line. Be obedient to what God is instructing you to do. And God gives us all different instructions of what we're supposed to do. Be obedient concerning that so that you can receive what God has promised you. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Listen, I want to pray for Caesar and Elsa. I want to pray for Keith and Clarissa. I want to pray for Sister Bridget. Oh, I'm sorry, two Bridges in there. Horatos. And Sister Michelle Cole. And I want you to just stand up where you're at. You ain't got to stand up now. I'm going to call you up. Caesar and Elsa, just stand where you're at. I'm just going to pray for you. I'm just being obedient. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for Minister Caesar and Sister Elsa on today, God. I thank you, Lord, for grace and mercy upon their life today, God. I thank you, Lord, for giving them strength, God. I thank you, Lord, for giving them the courage to continue to move forward, God. I thank you, Lord, that you have built them up, God, to be strong pillars for their family. I thank you that you've given them the ability to trust you, Father God, to believe in you, God, to walk with you, Father God. And I just begin to release blessings over their life, God, that every seed that they've sown out, God, you will begin to release a great harvest upon them, Father. The love they've sown, the caring they've sown, the peace they've sown, the joy, the financial blessing they've sown, God. I decree their harvest shall be abundant, God. And I place the blood of Jesus over them, Lord, that no sickness, no illness, no plague shall come nigh their dwelling, God. I decree that they will continue to be drawn to one another. They will continue to hold on to each other. They will continue to encourage and uplift one another, God. And that peace is their portion, Father God. And I just release the anointing of God to rest upon them, Lord, that you will continue to give them revelation, knowledge in your word. Continue to build them up in their faith and their hope and trust in you on today, God. And Lord, I break every assignment, every attack of the enemy that will try to disrupt their peace. I decree that they are covered in the blood. I decree that they are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, God, and that you will give them discernment. You will give them direction. You will give them favor. And I speak it over their life right now in the name of Jesus. And God, we speak it and we seal it in the blood, and it is so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Come on, Brother Keith and Minister Clarissa, please stand real quick. I just want to pray for you all. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for Brother Keith and Minister Clarissa today, God. I thank you, Lord, for grace that's upon their life. I thank you for favor. I thank you for covering them, God. Thank you for building them up for this season and this time that they're in, God. I pray that you'll continue, Lord, to speak to them, God. Continue to uplift their hearts on today, God. Continue, Lord, to remove every weight, God, every sin that so easily beset them on today, God. That, Lord, you will bless them like never before, Father God. That you will bring them to their place of peace and in harmony on today, Father God. I release the grace of God over their home, God, over Mother Kimora, God, as they've taken the assignment to be there, be her caretaker, Father God. I pray that you give them strength, give them wisdom, God, give them understanding and compassion on how to deal with the differences in what she's going through, Father God. And I place the blood of Jesus over her mind, God, that, Lord, dementia and Alzheimer's will not be her portion, God. I pray that she will recall and she will begin to remember, God, and that, Lord, there will be peace in the home on today, God. And I release, Lord, a reward over them for making time and opening up their doors, Father God, to take care of their loved one on today, God. Grant them their heart's desires on today, God. Meet their financial needs on today, God. I decree that you will supply all of their needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I speak peace over them, life over them, hope over them, joy over them in the name of Jesus. And I call them blessed. And we seal it in the blood. And it is so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, Sister Bridget Horatios. Just stand where you're at. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for Sister Bridget, God. I thank you for the grace that's on her life. I thank you, Lord, that you're encouraging her heart today, God, that you've given her strategy. You're giving her wisdom. You're giving her insight on what she should do in her next. I pray that you just begin to speak clearly unto her on today, God, that you're preparing her, Father God, that you're making a way for her on today, God, and that you will begin to stand right beside her on today, God, to comfort her, God, to support her on today, God, to uplift her spirit on today, God. She will not be weary in well-doing, Father God, for in due season she shall reap if she faint not on today, Father God. I release the anointing to rest upon her life, God, that she will begin to be in her word like never before, be in prayer like never before, Father God. Stir up every gift in her life on today, God, and we seal her body in the blood of Jesus, that MS will not have any impact on her, God, that her health will be sustained, God, her nervous system, God, her central nervous system, God, her respiratory system, her digestive system, God. We speak life to her circulatory system. Every area of her body is blessed and healed from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, God. And I decree blessings right now in the name of Jesus that every need shall be met, God, and that you will favor her, God. I lift up Rich on today, God. I call him out in the spirit, God. I pray that you minister to his heart. I pray that you will deliver him, Lord, from every hurt, every past shame on today, Father God. Every place, Lord, where there's addiction, God, I break it in the name of Jesus, God. I loose life over him. I loose peace over him. I loose the joy of the Lord over his life, that he will stand and become and be the man of God you called him to be, God. And I speak those blessings by the power of the blood of Jesus. And it is so, and it is so in Jesus' name. Come on, Sister Michelle, stand where you're at. Reba Shito Rokobo Shemada Rama Sebeda Rebetike Lebusha. Hallelujah, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Sister Michelle today. I thank you for the grace that's on her life. I thank you, Lord, that she got here today. I thank you, Lord, that she's yet standing. I thank you that she's going to persevere. I thank you she's going to stand and not give up on today, God. I speak encouragement to her heart on today, God. I speak life to her spirit, man, on today, God. That, Lord, that she's reminded that she is more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, God. I command her to fight the good fight of faith on today, God. That, Lord, you're giving her strategy and wisdom, God, that she is a winner on today, Father God, and that everything she touches, God, it shall begin to prosper on today, God. I call forth unexpected income over her life. I call forth increase and overflow, God. I call forth favor on her job, on her place of employment, God. I decree miracles in her family on today, God, that her children are blessed, God, and that they will walk with you, Father God. They will come into the knowledge of you being their Lord and Savior, Father God. I release that peace over her mind on today, Father God, and that you will continue to strengthen her, God, continue to build her up on today, God, that, Lord, she will not give up on tonight, God, she will not throw in the towel, Father God, but, Lord, you're going to give her her next on today, God, and I thank you, Lord, that it's coming swiftly, God. I thank you, Lord, that the desires of her heart shall be met, God, the thing that she's prayed in secret, the thing that only you know about, God. I pray that you grant it unto her right now in the name of Jesus, God, and I seal her in the precious blood of Jesus, God. And it is so, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. My God, my God. Stand up, Sister Vicky. Uraba seba raboto kama rebete kisha beda rondo boshe ba rebeta busa ba rebete kisha Vicky not Victoria I'm sorry rebushe ba raba da be sebushe be kada raba no Vicky that's what I'm saying I said Vicky not Victoria robo seba raba deke secundo ramba kanda remba deke sibo doshe manda randa kanda remba deko sundo roto koshiba randa dondo donda sinda renda kindo shondo ronda kanda renda kundo rondo kosha Rute kesa tusha pa roto kusha panda rete kisa pa roba se ti le kushe ba rekato kusa pa rikushi ba pe le buno na na si ke le moshe pa roto kusi viale e si no na 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 ya da ya soto roto kosa pa isi ti ni moshi ba e le ushi ba ai se agai no tosa ba e si ki ti koshe pa I had to go back to you when you were born. And I broke off every spirit that tried to attach itself to you. Everything that does not belong to you, I broke it in the spirit. God said to begin to break those things that tried to attach itself to you in the time that you were born. I begin to break it. Every ungodly soul tie is being broken right now. Every place where the enemy has tried to trap you, God said it's broken right now. And God said, I love God. He said, what he wants you to do right now today, and listen at this, all he wants you to do is open up your mouth and say, I repent. I need you to say it loud because I need you to know that freedom belongs to you. I need you to say it out of your gut. I repent.
Hallelujah.
And God, I ask you to forgive me.
Yes.
Now, Father God, you heard her voice.
Thank you.
You heard her cry, just as the children of Israel cried out. I call forth the rescuer for Sister Vicky right now in the name of Jesus. I break every trick, every trap, every assignment of the enemy that is plotting against her. I decree that she will be victorious. I decree that every weapon that's been formed is broken. I decree that she's walking in liberty today. I decree that those things of the past are broken, God. That she's healed, she's restored, she's made new today, Father God. I break it in the name of Jesus. No weapon that's formed against you will prosper. I decree that the covenant that's been made with your mama, that the words that she's been standing on because you're attached to her. I decree the word that we just read today that God said to 1,000 generations, I will keep my covenant. And I decree and declare that the things that your mama done prayed for you, that the things your mama is crying out in your life for, regardless of what Vicky has done, I decree that those words will come up before God and that God will restore you and redeem you by the power of the blood of Jesus. Oh my God. Oh, I felt that because God said that thing was right there for the day. He said, I'm held holding that thing up for 1,000 generations. He said, I'll do it because I made a covenant with your ancestors. I decree the prayers your mama prayed, your grandmama prayed, the things that have been released through your aunts, through your uncles, through your cousins, through your nieces, through your pastor. I decree healing. It's finished. God said, I'm going to get the glory. The rescuer is on his way. Now, the last thing, he said right there. He said, right, my rescuer is on the way.
Yes.
When you begin to write that and begin to speak it over your life, every day you wake up, my rescuer is on the way. My rescuer is on the way. My rescuer is on the way, baby. I'm telling you, he's coming. He's coming to redeem me. Open nails, he made to rise up. Open nails, he made to rise up. I'm telling you, I believe God. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Peace is our portion. Peace is our portion.
Yes.
Come on, stand up, Sister Diana. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for Sister Diana today. I thank you, Lord, for giving her strength. I thank you for giving her wisdom, giving her confidence, giving her guidance. that God, everything she's standing in need of today, you know her heart's desires. You know the things that she's believing you for, Father. I pray that you will begin to release supernatural favor over her life. That God, you will begin to minister to her mind, minister to her heart, minister to her spirit on today, God. Let her know, God, that you have not forgotten about her. Let her know that she still matters. Let her know that she's still valuable. Let her know that she's still worthy. Let her know that, God, you are loving on her and that you care about her, Father God. I decree every spirit of the enemy that wants to make you feel as though you're not loved, that you're not worthy, that you're not valuable, that, God, why? And you keep asking the question, why did it have to happen to me? I decree and declare that God is training you for warfare, that God is positioning you to war in the spirit, to pray in the spirit, to intercede like never before, and that God's going to bring you out. He's going to deliver you, and God's going to raise up the rescuer for you, and you will stand, and you will believe, and you will go forth by the power of the blood of Jesus. I break the shame. I break the guilt. I break the misconceptions. I break the misunderstandings. I decree the peace of God over your mind right now in the name of Jesus. You will not be tormented in the name of Jesus, but I speak peace. Peace by the power of the blood of Jesus. Oh, it is so. It is so. It is so. It is so. I just heard this old song. For Sister Cassandra Dorsey, stand up real quick. Rain on me, rain on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost rain on me, rain on me, rain on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost rain on me. God said, that's what's happening to you right now. God said, the Holy Spirit is raining upon you. And you need all what the Holy Spirit has for you in this season. You need the Holy Spirit like never before. You need the guidance today. You need the wisdom today. You need the strength and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And I decree that the Holy Spirit is reigning over you and upon you right now. And God is giving you the desires of your heart. He's giving you what you need to stand. You will not fall. You will not waver. You will not be tossed to and fro. But I decree that God is planting you on a firm foundation. Foundation, and that you are standing strong, and that you are declaring the victory over your life, because the Holy Spirit is reigning upon you, and the fruit of the Spirit is in operation. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, temperance, those things are and flowing through you right now in the name of Jesus. And God said, I'm protecting you. I'm watching over you, that no hurt, harm, or danger shall come nigh your dwelling. I loose the grace over your life. I loose the favor over your life. I loose peace over your life by the power of the blood of Jesus. And it is so. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus. My God, my God. Jesse and Shantae. Every time I turn around, blessings on blessings on blessings on blessings. Every time I turn around, blessings on blessings on blessings. Blessings on blessings on blessings. I decree and declare that the open heaven of blessings are shining, they are raining, they are pouring, and the windows of heaven are open over you all's life by the power of the blood of Jesus. I decree blessings on blessings. I decree supernatural stupid favor is flowing over your life, that God is going to supernaturally meet the need. He's going to supernaturally open the door. He's going to supernaturally prepare the way. He's going to supernaturally mend the relationship. He's going to supernaturally heal and restore the body in the name of Jesus. No sickness, no illness, no plague shall come nigh your dwelling. I decree blessings on blessings on blessings are in your favor today, right now, by the power of the blood of Jesus. Yes. And God, I ask you to seal them in the blood, that no weapon that's formed against them shall prosper, that the blessings that you have ordained to be in their life, they shall be made manifest. I decree this stability. I decree oneness. I decree peace in the home. I decree agreement, a oneness of coming together, and that God is getting ready to build you up, and he's going to strengthen both of you all, and you're going to grow and mature in the areas that are needed in this hour. He said, let it go. Whatever it is, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let it go by the blood of Jesus. Oh, my God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. He is mighty. He is mighty. Come on, Pastor, share what you have. Did you need to share, whoever you need to share something with? You sure? Amen. Prophets can't hear anything you need to share?
Oh my God, God is amazing. Peace and favor.
Wow. All right. Didn't nobody hand that, right? So, listen, I'm going to pray for the bride tribe this year. Mary has to pray for her bride tribe. What's funny is, I didn't think about it, because I wasn't thinking about that they were going to be here. But, Pastor Sylvia, I saw you come in here before you came in. And when you came in, I mean, I had saw that you were coming today, and we were in praise and worship. But I wasn't attached to the bride tribe, I wasn't thinking about that. But stand up real quick. I want you to be encouraged to know that God has seen your tears, and God has seen the things that you have endured. God has seen the things that you have had to overcome. And God said he'll restore everything that the cankerworm and the palmerworm and the locust have eaten. God said, just remain faithful. He said, just remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And God will begin to redeem the time. Stand on his promises. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you are part of the bride tribe, I know the civil prophecy was just, Pastor was just sat down. If you're part of the bride tribe, just stand where you're at. Hallelujah.
Apostle, there are people behind the scenes that help. Michelle, Elois, Bridget, you have a hand in making this wedding possible. Your job. Tiffany, Du, Karen, both Karens. And this is for you. It's not just the people that's in the wedding, it's people that's behind the scenes help make it possible.
Amen.
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 And this is.
Thank you. I receive it. I appreciate it. We receive it. Listen, we're thankful for the joyous occasion that's being prepared before us with marriage and weddings and those who are part of it. It's a blessing that even when the bride asks you to be a part of that, you know, the bride is about working those things, and then the man who deals with the groomsmen and different people that's a part of it also. But when they ask you to be a part of that, count it as a blessing, amen. Amen. Count it as an honor, amen. That what you do is not small, it's not insignificant, but it is it's needed and it's desired for whatever thing that you do. Thank God for it, amen. So as you're standing, just lift your hands. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for each individual, God, that has been called to be a part of this great occasion of this marriage between Brother Minister Renard and Evangelist Marion. We're asking you, Father God, that your Holy Spirit will begin to move right now, that your grace will be upon them, that your peace will be upon them, that your joy will be upon them, and that, Lord, you're removing, God, any assignment of the enemy that will bring a distraction. I decree that peace shall prevail. I decree that on the wedding day, things will be in order. Things will be timely. Things will be in the place and in the position that you have ordained it to be in, God. I pray for the people, God, those who are a part of this particular bridesmaids and the groomsmen and those who are operating behind the scenes. I release blessings over you right now in the name of Jesus, that as you serve and as you walk and as you begin to give of yourself during this time, I decree that you shall be rewarded with a 100-fold return of blessings, and that God will honor and see the time that you've spent in rehearsals and meetings and doing various things to assist. I pray that God will bless you and favor you on today. And I decree and pray blessings over the venue, over the church, Mount Olive, over the place that where the reception will be, that the blood of Jesus will be upon it right now in the name of Jesus, that no weapon that's formed against that bridal party, against those places where those events will take place, they will remain standing and they will experience a blessed atmosphere as we go into them, God. And bless the congregation of people that will witness the marriage, God, that everyone will be in their own one accord, and that will share in this occasion of joining this man and this woman into holy matrimony. I place the blood of Jesus over them. I seal them in the word of God, and I decree and declare that the blessings of the Lord that make it rich and added no sorrow are upon their lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. The last thing real quick. Let's sow a seed real quick. Come on, Ashton. What's happening, man? You're right on time. You got a seed? You ready to sow? Yes. Amen. Let's sow a seed and we're going home. That's it. We did good. It's 11:57. We're going to be out. I ain't no cash on me with the person I'm sowing to. I'm going to get a seed to him. Hallelujah. Don't worry, I got you. I got you. I got you. That's so real quick, whatever you got, $1, $5, $100, $50, $25, $30, $35, $40, $45, $50, whatever the Lord put upon your heart. Amen. We thank God. I appreciate you all. Listen, I just believe that God keeps the windows of blessings open in all of our lives. When we have an opportunity to just sow and give, and when God puts it on our heart, whatever you sow in different times and in different places, I'm telling you, it's a blessing. Amen?
Amen.
And God will favor you. Hallelujah. Only God will do it.
Amen.
Come on, open the nail. Praise the Lord. Saw them seeds real quick. Sister Allison?
Yeah.
Oh, you had
something? We were trying to
get the seed. Oh, okay. It's all well. Sow them seeds. Praise the Lord. Everybody gave me one to give. Anything else I may miss on announcements? Don't forget, those of you all who are that need to move into the sound booth for interviews, see the media team. This is Amy and Nicole. I get the names mixed up. Amy, stand up real quick. When I saw you, the Holy Spirit just began to speak to me. I want to release favor over you. God's getting ready to expedite your process. I hear that. He said he's ready to expedite your process. It's some paperwork sitting on somebody's table. It's getting ready to be processed. It's got your name on it. And God's getting ready to expedite your process. The everything that you're believing God for, that you're standing in need of, I need you to write the vision and make it plain. I need you to write the vision and make it plain. And ask God and speak into existence the thing that you're believing God for. Because God is getting ready to expedite your process. The paperwork's getting ready to be filed. The thing is getting ready to come back with a yes on it. It's getting ready to get approval. I'm telling you, I see the papers just shuffling and things coming in your email box. Because it's good news coming your way. I'm telling you, it's good news is getting ready to manifest. And God is going to strategically order your steps. And God said it's going to be important that you begin to acknowledge God in all your ways that he may direct your path. He said to acknowledge him in all your ways and he shall direct your path, because I'm expediting the process and I want you to walk in line where God is taking you. He said, don't doubt him in this season. Trust him like never before. Trust the words of the Holy Spirit that he will lead you and guide you into the right areas. Expedited process is manifesting for you right now in the name of Jesus. Now, Father God, I thank you for Sister Amy, God. I thank you for blessings on her life. I thank you for favor on her life. I thank you for peace on her life. I thank you that, Lord, you are protecting her and covering her from every hurt, harm, and danger. I thank you that you are restoring unto her the joy of the Lord to be her strength. I speak divine health over her body from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. No sickness, no illness, no plague shall come nigh her dwelling. I decree and declare that she's walking in victory, that it is her winning season, God, and that the expedited processes are manifesting right now in the name of Jesus. The emails are coming back. The things and the letters in the mail are coming back approved with yeses on them, God. And that you're opening up doors of great opportunity for her, Father. And I decree and declare that she shall walk in the blessings of the Lord that make it rich and added no sorrow. It won't be a struggle for her. I break any struggle. Jesus, it won't be a struggle. But God said, I'm allowed to come easy to you. And I seal it in the blood of Jesus. And it is so. Come on, y'all. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you all for sowing. Come on up, Sister Michelle Cole, and get this seed. And we're going to go home. Y'all can all stand. We're going home. Amen. 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 Mr. Alvin, you can come just listen. Receive it.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father in heaven, we thank you for everything our eyes have seen and our ears have heard. Father, we thank you for everyone who was able to make it out today and were able to participate in what you had prepared in store for us today. And Father, we thank you for the apostle of the house, Father, to be the messenger that you used to spread the word, the good word and the good news to us today. And we receive it in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, as we leave this place, we ask that you would dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. Encamp your arms of protection around us, protecting us from dangers both seen and unseen as we come again and go. And Father, we ask that you would watch over us throughout the week. Those are our loved ones, those who we represent today, those who are not here, Father, watch over them as well. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.